Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
All right, girls, so we have something amazing planned ahead, but we've been going through Ephesians, and we have it planned to the T. We are ending Ephesians right before we go into conference. We're ending Ephesians 3 so we can step into Ephesians 4 after conference. So God is doing something new. How many of you feel like you're under attack? I'm just curious. Right? Like, do you feel like things are coming from the left or the right, in the front and the back? Listen, you're in a good place. Okay? Because that means that you are a threat to the devil. And he is coming after you, but you don't have to worry about it because you carry the authority of Jesus Christ, and he's messing with the wrong girl. Say, he's messing with the wrong girl. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to be who I am. Amen. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the word. Dear Father God, we love you today. God, Lord, we honor you today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. Just teach us from your word today. God, I pray that you give us eyes of understanding today as we read your scripture, as it opens up. I pray that your spirit would go forth through this congregation today, God, that you would touch every heart and every mind and every spirit. Holy Spirit, that you'd wear me well, that you'd speak through me, that you'd do what you need to do. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. How many of you have been enjoying Ephesians? I don't know about you, but, you know, these are things you're not going to hear like when you turn the news on, right? These are not things you're going to hear around even the dinner table sometimes. I don't know about you guys. Now, maybe my dinner table with my mom. I would definitely hear these things, which I love. But you don't just, like, say, oh, let's talk about Ephesians while we're eating dinner, you know? And so excuse me if you see a cough drop in my mouth. I'm going to keep it in just so I don't go into a coughing fit in front of you all, okay? So, but we're gonna hit up Ephesians, and then Pastor Deborah's going to end Ephesians 3 for us next week. And so it's going to be a powerhouse. I know it's going to be amazing. And then the week after that, just so you girls know, we're going to be on break from Women Rock, but it's the week of conference. So we'll need you guys to come out and help us volunteer to get all the bags and all the goodies together, all the gifts. We have gifts for you at the conference. We have so many things. So I want you to sign up today. If you say money is an issue, it's really not an issue for us. So come and talk to us about it, okay? You have to reach out, and you have to do something, and you have to ask. And if you ask, then you shall receive. We want you there, okay? And so we'll take care of you. We've got your back. We want you to get fed. That's more important to us than money. God provides everything else, all right? All right, that's a little plug. Ding. All right, Ephesians 4:21, one of my favorite scriptures. I constantly am in a spiritual battle, as you are. We are all human, and we live in this fleshly world, and we have to know how to defend ourselves and how to combat when the enemy comes at us. So here's Paul. He's an incredible man of God, and he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a strong church, and they were spiritually strong. Did you know that? But yet Paul says, I need to pray for them. And so in the later part of this chapter, he begins a prayer for the church of Ephesus. I believe this prayer could be something that you and I can add into our daily walk, and it can strengthen us. So let's pray it. Let's read it, and we'll pray through it. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, I love his heart of surrender in this. You know, it's like, here's Paul. He could just be walking around. How many of us have to walk around and pray? Like me, I'm like, you know, doing laundry and praying, and I'm cleaning, you know, the kitchen and praying, and I'm driving in the car while in between conversations with the kids, and I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know what to say to them. You know, like all those things. But here's Paul, and he says, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to take some time, God. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to surrender my man flesh, and I'm going to bend down on my knees. Sometimes you're going to need a stop moment, and you're going to have to get down on your knees, and you're going to have to tell the world around you, not right now, because I need some time with God. Because in order to have this moment, I have to be clear-minded. I have to be in a place where God needs me to be. So here's Paul. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through his spirit in his inner man. Now, we already taught this last week. If you need to go back, you can go on Women Rock Podcast. We have it all there for you. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen, girls, it doesn't just happen because it says Christ may dwell in your heart. You have to do this in faith. Sometimes faith is like, I don't feel like God's in my heart today. Today, I feel like I'm the devil. Sometimes you feel like, have you ever felt that way about yourself? Like, okay, I snapped at so-and-so. I really wasn't godly today. I wasn't carrying myself in a manner that a Christian girl should be doing. Sometimes, but then you have to remind yourself, no, in faith, you know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Come on, snap out of it, girlfriend. I'm going to step back into who I am in faith. It's what you can't see, but it's what you know. And you step back into that. And so here it says that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith, that they be rooted and grounded in love. Love is a massive word in the kingdom of God. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend, to understand with all the saints. Look around. These are all your sisters in Christ. With all the saints, what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, and what is the height? To know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. We're going to talk about those verses. Then it says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that works in us. Pastor Deborah is going to cover this. To him be the glory in the church of Jesus Christ to all generations, which is big generational thing here going on, girls. At the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, we have generations represented. Can I get the young girls, whoop, whoop? Middle-aged girls, whoop, whoop? Come on, older girls, whoop, whoop. Right on. We all are connected because we're all a part of each other. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. We just heard about a pastor that killed himself on Sunday in the church in Chino. My heart has been broken ever since I heard that message, ever since I heard that. Because you know why? I may not have known them personally, but they were my brother. He was my brother. And I understand the struggle. I understand the demons that he faces. And when I sat there, my heart broke, and I said, God, why do I feel so strongly about it? He said, because he was your family. See, we could be across the oceans apart from each other, but we're all one. We are a new part of a new kingdom. We are a new creation. We are now knit together. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So when you hurt, I hurt. When somebody hurts across the ocean, guess what? We're a part of them. We stand with them. We got their back, right, Christians? We stand together in the unity of who Jesus Christ is. And so when I can get this verse into my heart on a daily basis, something begins to change on the inside. My spirit man gets to be renewed. I all of a sudden step outside of Jess and the natural person that I am. And I can step into the supernatural person that I need to be. And then it also reminds me of, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can ask God for these incredible things. I can ask to know the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. I can step into the love of God today when I don't feel very loving. I can ask the Lord to cover my family and give them the mind of Christ. I can ask for that supernatural spiritual wisdom. I can see the impossible done in an impossible world. I can see the possible done. You see, you can tell me a circumstance and I can listen to you. But on the back end, I'm thinking, but God. But God, what's the God factor in this? You see, I wouldn't think that way if I didn't fill my spirit man up, though. And so many times, be careful who you're talking to. Be careful who you're associating with about your issues. Because if they're not filling you up according to what the Word of God says, if they're not giving you the God side to things, you're going to be defeated. You'll be broke down. You'll be busted. You'll be disgusted. You'll go, what happened? You say, but Pastor Jess are my family. Well, listen, even in family, there has to be some healthy boundaries. There does. Just because they're family doesn't mean they get to come in on every aspect of your life. If they're not godly and if they're not serving God, I would beg to differ, like you love them from a distance until they get healthy. Because you need to pray for them, but you don't need to be subjected to the ungodliness and to the brokenness and to the defeat and to all those things that pull you down. Have you ever left and you go, ugh? Have you ever walked out of someone's house? Or maybe, I mean, there's been times that I've walked out of like restaurants or whatever after having conversations with people and I'm like, oh, shake that one off in Jesus' name. And you see, it's not that you're better. It's just that you understand who you are. It's that you've come into a new understanding of the depths of God's love. That you don't have to walk out what they're living. And you don't have to become what they're saying you are. And you don't have to stay in those places that he wants to keep you boundary. Like, no, you can't go further, no further. Like that red sign just waving, like, nope, no more. And God says, oh, knock it off. Kick that thing down, girl. You're going to take borders. You're going to take boundaries. You're going to cover new territory. You're going to see new things. You're going to go new places. this is beyond us. This is beyond who we are. This is beyond what God has for us. So girls, we have to switch our thinking today. So as we're getting into the Word of God, I want you to turn off the natural and I want you to turn on your supernatural. Okay? So that inner man is going to rise up right now. We're going to be taught because we're filling our inner man up so that when life hits, that's what will be the strongest in the hard time. Okay? So here we go. It will be an anchor for me in a few things, these scriptures. Number one, it will teach me, if I pray this over myself every day, it will teach me to live in the Spirit. You say, oh, then you're one of those people that kind of float around and just believe God for everything. You're one of those weird people. No. I'm actually going to be weird because I'm going to be peculiar to this world. I, you know, when we got in the car accident, my kids were like, Mom, we were so proud of you. You, like, didn't yell at the guy and you didn't cuss or anything. And I'm like, I put myself away. I was mad. But I did. I held myself together in a new way than maybe like what? Like 10 years ago, I would have been like, hey, forget you. What an idiot you are. You know, like I would have told him how dumb he was. Like he needed that at that time. No. This poor guy was mourning his wife that day. He was tired. I mean, he needed compassion. He needed mercy. He didn't need someone coming after him. And see, I couldn't have done that if I didn't walk it out in the Spirit. That morning, I was already up praying in the Spirit. I was fighting through some other things, and then that happened, so it just like felt like, really, seriously? But at least my spirit man was full. And so when it happened, I was able to get through the day. Did I get through the day the way I wanted to? No. Listen, we're foolish to think that we're going to live like heaven here on earth because we live in a fallen state. Now, we are going to live like heaven on earth in the Spirit of God because there'll be a freedom. Hell will be breaking out around us and we will have a peace. Hell will break out around us and we will know our connection to the love of our Father so we can't be shaken. But we're stupid to think that life's not going to go on and things bad are not going to happen because we live in a fallen world, girls. But God has equipped us to live this life, to walk it out in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, that the Holy Spirit came to live and dwell within you. And that when you have something going on, you can connect to the Spirit of God. Let me give you an example. I, as a child, used to be afraid of things in the dark. Do you remember being a kid? And I just remember, like, I would see shadows and think, oh, it's like a demon. And I would just freeze. I mean, I would become so crippled, I couldn't move. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And I didn't realize that was a spirit of fear. You know, when you're a kid, you don't know those things. And I'm not telling my mom about it because then it would just pass and I just wouldn't say anything. And then when I did talk to my mom about it, I remember her telling me, this is a spirit of fear. We got to pray this off. And then she began to teach me the scripture. And then it turned into, that spirit of fear turned into an obsession with washing my hands. Mom, do you remember this? I would wash my hands so much that they would get raw. And because I had this like thing, like I've got, so, oh, I touched something, it's dirty. Ooh, and it became this like weird obsession. And my mom would say, stop it, this is unhealthy. This is not like you're a clean freak. This is like you're unhealthy. Like, this is a demon, and it's you need to break this. So we broke it off, and I remember telling myself, don't wash your hands right now, even though you want to, don't do it. And I remember breaking those habits off that I could have just stayed in, right? But it was a process as a little girl. And as I got older, I didn't realize how this spirit of fear began to manifest in different ways in my life. And what it was, it would control different aspects of who I was. Well, when my daughter was young, she got attacked spiritually, and the enemy told me it was a spirit of fear that I had been dealing with. You better deal with it now. Remember, I've told you this story. I confronted that thing head on. I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of fear, you're no longer going to control my life. I know who I am in Christ, and you don't get to be a part of this. And so you go back to hell where you came from. That thing broke off of me. And then I watched my daughter journey through this spirit of fear. As it comes back, I can feel it. It's familiar. It's a familiar spirit. But you know what happens is my spirit man will pick it up. My spirit, that inner man inside of me will go, uh-uh. So if my daughter says something or if somebody in my world says something and I know what is operating behind what they're saying, I'm like, no, that's a spirit of fear. You need to cast that thing. No, I'm not even listening to what you just said because that's not truth. See, spirit of fear lies. It's going to take you down a path that God never wants you to go down. So I've got to walk in the Spirit. And so when you begin, as your spirit man begins to recognize those things you've already defeated in your life, you begin to walk out in the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit rises up on the inside of you, and you can fight off those things. That's just a little example. There's many other things. You can live by the Spirit. How many times have you been ready to go somewhere, and the Lord says, don't go that way. Take the other route. And then you hear about, like, some crazy five-car pileup, or you hear about something going on. Or how about, like, I don't even book airplane flights, I know this is crazy, without saying, Lord, is this the path you want us to take? Like, because I know we're on assignment, and I don't know, like, what you need from us. And I'll get a freedom in that. I don't even go to the grocery store without asking the Lord, I need a good parking spot. And when I don't pray for the good parking spot, I get a crappy one. And so, I mean, seriously, like, walking by the Spirit, invite him into every aspect of your life. Because when you begin to understand that you are not your own, but you walk around with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, that you begin to understand things on a different level. Yesterday night, my daughter and I, we were fighting this cold thing that is going on. And we began to, I was going through my message, I was looking for examples of things, and of course I couldn't find anything. And we came across this man who had died and gone to heaven, and he came back. And we were listening to his story, and he was talking about the unconditional love of God that wrapped around him. And he was just this older gentleman, and he wept. And we were like, like snot flying everywhere, you know, learning this beautiful story of how God's love is so deep and so beautiful. And my daughter said, I want a deep spiritual relationship like that. And I said, Chloe, you have it, but the enemy lies to you. And he begins to tell you you're not spiritually strong enough and that you don't know these things, but you actually are. And she goes, yeah, in fact, I am stronger than that. And we began to talk about the Spirit of God and how every day, what are her new patterns in life going to be so that she can stand up to the enemy and what she can do. That was a God moment. And while she was telling me some of the things she was struggling with, I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm going, Holy Spirit, what do I say to my daughter right now? Because I don't know what to say. I never thought like this, and I never had this issue. What do I say? And then I would say something, and it would minister to her heart, and I'm like, oh, thank you, God. You see, you're going to need it to raise your kids. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to raise it. I can't tell you how many times my mom was like, read my mail. I'm like, how did you know? Well, the Spirit of God told me. You're going to need the Spirit of God to raise your children. You're going to need the Spirit of God to love your husband who you don't understand, who acts like a man, and you're like, really? How come you can't be more like me? You know, like, because it wouldn't work. It's not supposed to be that way. But you're going to need the Spirit of God to ask God, help me love him. Maybe you're unattracted to your husband. Maybe there's this distance between you. Ask the Spirit of God to bring that attraction back. Ask the Spirit of God to bring the love back. Ask the Spirit of God to bring the romance back. You see, bring him in on your marriage. Walk it out, girls. When you come into the house of God, and you say, I just don't feel like raising my hands today. I don't feel like it. Well, guess what? It's not a feeling. It's an expression of I'm dying to myself. I'm going to worship the one who created me. I'm going to get past whatever it is that's in my head, and I'm going to move on into what God is saying and asking me to do. This is living in the Spirit. This is walking this out. It's never going to be comfortable. It's never going to be easy. Living in the Spirit's going to look weird to others, but you're going to have a guidance that nobody else has. You're going to step into favor that you never could have stepped into if you didn't walk into the Spirit of God. When you walk by the Spirit, you're going to have revelation and an understanding. When you open the Scripture, it's going to come alive to you, and you're going to go, there's my answer. I was praying about this like 4 days ago, and there's the Word of God just spoke right to my heart. You see, you need that wisdom and that revelation that we talked about. It's going to drop and deposit on you the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. You cannot understand God's love without the Spirit of God. Because when you are connected to him, when you love him intimately, even when you're mad at him, he's standing next to you waiting for you to pay attention. When you're hurting and you say, I don't want to talk to you right now, God says, okay. He just stands silently. And he just holds your hand. When you're ready, I'm here. When you're ready. When you're ready. You see, the love of God is gracious. It's merciful in broken times. It's there, never left you. It never forsakes you. God never abandons you. Never. And when you live by the Spirit of God, you know that. when you have a bad day, he's there. Have you ever heard, knock it off? Don't do, Don't say that, Dan. You said it. Okay, don't say that now. Don't do it. That's the Holy Spirit. When you stop hearing that, be scared. Because you push him so far away that you're not hearing him anymore. Eventually, the Holy Spirit will back off of you and go, fine, this is your free will choice. You don't want me involved in your life. You don't want to hear my voice. You don't want to walk in my spirit. You don't want to be the real Christian I've asked you to be. So God doesn't give you something and ask for something from you without giving you the backup to handle it. And the Holy Spirit is the backup to handle it all. And that's what we walk in. In Romans 8, 7 through 9, in the New Living Translation, it says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. Have you ever met anyone who hates God? Whoo, they're hard to be around. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. Verse 8, that's why those that are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. See, you have the Holy Spirit, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, living on the inside of you. That means there's an extra power on the inside of you. That means that there's an extra, you shouldn't do that. Or, maybe you need to go talk to that person. Have you ever been at the store and God's like, go tell them that I love them. Go tell them. You never know what they've been going through. You don't know, but you don't know if you disobey, God will find someone else that will carry out that assignment because you were disobedient. You don't want to be disobedient to the Holy Spirit that wants to do something in your life, but as well other people's lives. You are on assignment, women. Walking this out every day is what God wants. It's how God thinks. It's what God's directions are. You cannot live your daily without the Spirit of God every day, every moment. You are less likely to succeed. Number two, what kind of anchor is this going to be for me if I pray this prayer over myself? Number two, you're going to comprehend his love. Comprehend is kind of a different type of a word. Comprehend means to attain his love. I just loved that. In the Greek, it was saying to take a hold of and to keep. That means I'm going to comprehend God's love and I'm going to attain it and I'm going to keep it and I'm going to put it on and it's going to be my identity and I'm going to walk it out and I'm going to look more like Christ every single day. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to walk it out. You're going to comprehend his love. Ephesians 3:18 says, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints, that's the girls around you, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Do we understand the width and the length and the depth and the height? You know, here was Job. His friends, I don't know, let me see if I can remember the verse. I didn't even use it in my notes, sorry. And Job was, you know, he was going through hell. He was going through a hard time. Everybody had something to say in Job's life. Do you notice that? They all had spiritual wisdom. They all thought they knew what they were talking about, which I think is funny, because how many of us have people like that in our lives? And I think it's in 11, but I can't find it right now. And it was saying, who are you? You don't know the depth of the oceans. You don't know the heights of the heavens. Job. And it was God like, wake up. What are you thinking? You're getting this information from them? You need to come to me. Girls, to comprehend the love of God, you're not going to find it through a relationship with the opposite sex. You're not going to find it in a relationship with the same sex. Your best friend cannot fulfill those things. You are not going to find it in an animal and a love for an animal. You're not going to find it in any other way. You may get a glimpse of what love can be from those relationships because they're beautiful and they're God-ordained, right? But you're not going to know the depth and the height. Oh, that stretches beyond what we can think about. The width and the length. I want to bask and comprehend the goodness and the love of God so that when the enemy comes at me and when words come at me or when discouragement or displacement or whatever it is you're dealing with, sickness and anxiety and all those things, depression, You can pull yourself out and say, no, I am stepping into the realm of love today. I am not going to bask in the depths of depression, because God can rip me right out of that hell, and he can pull me back up into heaven. You see, God's love is there to rescue us up out of the things that you can't control. Love is deeper and wider and stronger, and you have no control over it, but he does. 1 John 4:8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Nothing else is love. Nothing. So anything that calls itself love outside of God, I would say liar. That's not popular nowadays, is it? That's not popular. Because we've confused the word love. And do you notice everything is about the journey to find love? I mean, The Bachelorette, right? Let's date a million guys all at once. Let's just sleep with them to see if maybe they're the right one. And then everybody's supposed to be okay with it. Like, I mean, what? How is that love? That's not the way God created it. I'm going to just try this because that didn't work in my life. I was hurt by that person, so I'm going to go in this direction. I'm going to try something new in my life. Because maybe that'll be a love that I can have tangible and I can have close, and you want to feel it. But let me tell you something. There is no love, no physical ailment, no nothing that will quench the depths of your broken heart like the love of God. Nothing. Because God is love. Romans 8, 38 through 9 in the New Living Translation. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, on the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. This is revealed in Jesus our Lord. You see, girls, this is just a time that we live, but when we step over into eternity, we will not even have anything to do with this earth side of things. As I was listening to these people that have had these encounters with God in heaven, do you know the one common thing that they all said? I watched a lot of them. They said, I didn't even think about earth. I literally did not have one thought about earth. When I came back, I was like, no! I don't want to be here! One guy said, I wish somebody would come and shoot me so I can go back and be where I need to go. Because there was just this new found understanding that this is not all it is. This is not it, girls. So that should be freedom for you in your life. Like, oh, all the hell that I have to live through? This is only just a glimpse. And what I do here will count there. And what I do here will make heaven full. So girls, get out. Be God's mouthpiece. Walk in his love. Do what he's asked you to do. Get outside of your circumstances. This one man that died, he said, gosh, I had major issues, I thought. Until I came back and I was like, I have no issues. I have no issues because I know who Christ is. I understand his love now, and nothing can get me down. And he goes, and I've just been kind of this guy floating on clouds and telling people about how good God is ever since. He's now 73 years old, and he's like, one day I'll get to go home. But that was a long time for him, and he's just walking out in the goodness of God. You see, these things are real, girls. I mean, I wish I could take you from earth side to eternity, and I can't. I don't understand that separation, but what I do understand, it's real. And for us to be afraid of dying would be foolish of us. Paul says to die is gain, but when I die, I get to step into the tangible presence of the Almighty, that unconditional love that wraps his arms around us. Some of you have had people that have passed in your life recently, and you're going, oh my goodness, listen, they would not come back if they could. They're like, please don't raise me from the dead. Leave me alone. Like, especially if they're saved. I mean, honestly, I told my kids, you can cry, you can mourn, whatever, but don't be sad for me. I'm sad for you because you got to stay here. You see, we got to get our jobs done. We got to do so that when you have a depth of what you're doing, you're not just raising a kid. You're raising a kid to serve God. So what are you doing in their life? Is everything else filling their time and God is like secondary or maybe once a month God to them? Or is he like maybe a thought because you haven't been living God out in your home? You see, girls, you need to have a conviction from the Holy Spirit that says, knock it off. Your assignment on this earth is to fulfill my destiny and my call, and you have been called to raise this family. Maybe you say, I didn't raise my family right, and now I'm older. Listen, you have grandchildren. You could do it over again. You can teach the word of God to your children now. Don't walk in condemnation and shame, because that's what the enemy brings, not what God brings. There's always a grace to begin to start where somewhere. Start somewhere with God today, girls. Start somewhere. Walk it out. The love of God is so good, so deep, so vast, so strong. We get to walk in it. We get to step into this. 1 Corinthians 2:7 through 9 in the New Living Translation says, know the wisdom we speak of this is the mystery of God. That love is a mystery. We don't always understand it. Girls, I'm a pastor and I don't always understand it. Sometimes I act so stupid and I'm like, you have to be so mad at me right now. And he's like, no, I love you. I'm not happy with you, but I love you. And he always brings me back to my kids, you know, when they do something dumb. And I'm like, I never will stop loving you, but I don't like you right now. And you need to change. You gotta shape up because you gotta fix this. His plan was that was previously hidden. Even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began, but the rulers of this world, that's the enemy, darkness, evil powers, have not understood it. If they had, could you imagine if the kings of all these generations and these presidents would all understand the love of God, what would our world be like? Can you imagine? If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. He wouldn't have had to be crucified on a cross. Oh, that's such a depth. Verse 9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. If you're a Christian today, say, thank you, Jesus, because I love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Remember, we're walking out in the Spirit. You can't understand spiritual things unless your spirit man is connected to what God is doing. And he searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. What? I get to understand the secrets of God? Yes. You go, how do I do that? You get into the house of God, you get into some Bible study, and the word becomes alive. You begin to get into your word daily and ask the Holy Spirit, as I read my word, I don't want to just read it and then go on with my day. I need a revelation from your word. Get a pen and a piece of paper out. And even if you stay in one scripture, stay in that scripture and say, what are you saying to me, God? And begin to write what God says to you. The next time you read that scripture, I bet you he'll drop something different on you. Because the secrets of God are so deep, so strong. You'll never stop learning. You're never going to arrive here on earth. You're never going to stop being grown in the things of Christ. You're never going to stop needing the Spirit of God working on your behalf. Never. I don't care how old you are and how long you've been in ministry. I don't care how young you are and how long you've been in ministry. Because I'm telling you right now, the depth of this is beyond us. The height of his strength is beyond us. God has something for us today. And we've got to get in and we've got to press in and we've got to find out the deep secrets of God. That's what our longings are, guys. And when you find them out, can you do me a favor? Can you talk about them to someone else? Tell your kids. I mean, whenever I'm like in my Bible, I'm in my devotional, and my kids are like walking around in the room, I'm like, hey, come here, come here, come here. And I don't care what kid it is, I drop it on them. And then they're like, okay, mom, it's good. Can I go play my video game now? And I'm like, well, I guess at least you got that. But you know, I have to tell someone when something is so good. You go, but you're extrovert, you're passionate, Pastor Jess, that's what you do. No. I am passionate about God because he's passionate about me. That reckless love we sing about, he came after me and he rescued me from hell. So I gave God everything after that day. I said, there is nothing that's going back to sin because I've tasted sin and I want nothing to do with it. You see, when you have an understanding of how good God is, nothing else matters. There's nothing on this earth that satisfies my soul. No vacation. No, I don't care how full the bank account is or how empty it is. No nice house or nice car. No good outfit. No good hair. Nothing satisfies me. But when I'm in the presence of the Almighty, body. Oh, my soul drinks him in, and all of a sudden I become reunited with the one who made me, who knows my name, who has my miracle, who I can step out and say, I don't care what the devil does, but I'm going to keep going. You see, girls, that's what it's about. The width and the length and the depth and the height. Those things will waste your time. You can enjoy them, but don't let them become your God. Don't let them become your thing that wraps around you and it becomes your identity. You might need to switch some things around in life. We went on this vacation, and we really needed it. But it was a pretty crappy one, honestly. And all I said was, the last part of the vacation was so good when my family came because we got to be together. There was a depth there that we needed. We needed that reuniting. We needed that time together. Then we live streamed on that Sunday morning. And all that never give up message was something I needed to hear. And it was something so good for my soul. You see, those things are not going to be what replace God. Don't let anything replace him. You've got to reach out. You've got to get in. You've got to make sure that the things of this world do not overtake the time and the pleasure of your King. Because those things will fill your time. And they will begin to be what becomes more important. And you'll find yourself, listen to me, you'll find yourself complacent in church. And you'll begin, oh, the preacher wasn't good enough today. He didn't get me standing up. You know, the worship team, they were a little off. Why do they keep playing those old songs? How come we aren't like this church, or how come we're not like that? Or I think I'm going to go try another church because I'm just not getting what I need. How about it? Probably it's you. It's you. You need to check yourself. You need to go to the throne room and be like, what do you need from me? I can't tell you how many people have left. And then they go and they don't go anywhere. Because they were never called to leave. They didn't ask God about it. They didn't say, God, do you want me to leave this house so that I could go be a part of another house? No. They just said, I'm leaving because I'm mad. Or I'm leaving because he's not good enough. Or I'm leaving because, listen, guys, bye. Because I don't need people in my church that are going to be sitting in the seats judging God and judging us. I need people in my church that are going to stand in the church and say, we are going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts. We're going to dig into the depths and the lengths and the heights. We're not going to go to the left. We're not going to go to the right. I'm not going to be shaken, but I'm going to stand in this hard time. When darkness hits, I'm going to pray. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to step in. When I don't know what to do, I'm going to reach out to my Father. That's the church I want to pastor. And girls, enough, enough. I feel like saying to the world, will the real Christians please stand up? Not these like, oh, well, if he fits into my schedule, Christians. Since when does God fit into my schedule? My schedule should fit around what God needs from me. I feel like saying yuck, yuck. And then you wonder what happens to your family down the road. They don't serve God. Well, really, how much did you put in? Because it all starts with us, girls. How you live it out is how they'll live it out. And then the way you live it out, they'll live it out less. Yeah. And then the next, less and less. But if you live it out and you're passionate about God, then they're one day going to have to question things about themselves. I had to face God and go, am I serving him or am I not? What do I do now that I find myself in these horrible situations? My mom taught me what to do. My dad taught me what to do. Now I have to make a decision for Christ. And I chose Christ. But you know, it wouldn't have happened if I didn't see them live it out my whole life. If I saw them wishy-washy, if I saw them, you know, doing like God sometimes, I don't know if I would have walked down that path in those times. But because they were no holds bar, we're serving God, we're not compromising, the too bad if your friends don't like it, I don't care. Oh, you don't like it, you can move out. And I did. And I got myself in a whole bunch of trouble. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, mamas that are holding on to your kids. Best thing that ever happened to me when my dad kicked me out and I had to go face the world myself. And I had to say, oh, I don't like this. Oh, wait, my parents were good to me. Oh, wait, God is real. I had to figure that out. You see, but it's because of scriptures like this that we're anchors. It's because God loves you so much and has your number. He has your children's number. He has your husband's number. He has your auntie's number. He has your cousin's number. He has your neighbor's number. And God is waiting for you as the ambassador to come alive on the inside and begin to do something about him. Begin to say something about him. Begin to act out who he is and what he's done for you. Don't be silent anymore, girls. It's time for the church, the Christian church, to stop being silent. Because we're going to offend. I'm sorry. The gospel is offensive, and we will offend. And you don't like our stance? Okay. Well, guess what? I don't like your stance either. Like, did we ever think that we're getting so politically correct that we're getting silent? Well, guess what? I don't like that you're living in a homosexual lifestyle that's bringing you to hell because I love you. Doesn't mean that I can't love you while you're getting healed from it or while God is helping you through this. But it means that I do know what the word says, and I'm not going to compromise on that. Doesn't mean I don't love you, because love and approval are two separate things. I do not approve of it, but I love you with all my heart. You see, church, stop being wimpy. Stop not standing for the things of God. You can't say, I believe part of this word, but I don't believe it all. No, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing with God. It either is or isn't. And so you say, I walk out and, well, I love so-and-so, so I'm not going to walk away from them. Well, listen, then you're walking away from God. Which one at the end of your life are you going to be accountable to that you will have to answer for? Girls, God never said it would be easy. He just said, I will give you the tools to walk through it. That means relationships may have to change in your life. Like I said earlier, boundaries may have to change in your life. You may have to step out of some things in sin. If God calls it sin, it's sin, girls. So that means, what do I do with sin? That means you don't give place to it. So what does that mean? Maybe you have to be abstinent. Maybe you have to say, I'm just not going to walk it out. Like, these feelings aren't going away from me, but I'm just not going to do it because I love God too much. I'm not going to go there. Right? How about that? What a concept that we deny our flesh and we don't give in to what our flesh says. That's what the scripture's saying. I'm on my train right here. I'm on my box. But I'm saying we have to understand that when we are walking in the Spirit and the love of God, we have to begin to think differently. I don't know how you were raised. This might be new to you. You might be hearing this for the first time going, oh my gosh, that means like everyone in my world is gone. No. What it means is you love them with some healthy boundaries. That means that you agree to disagree, but you still love them. I had people in my life that were sinners, and they were not ready to come to the Lord. Okay, fine, but I'm still going to be your friend. I'm still going to love you. Now, I'm not going to go out with you. Like, I'm not going to the clubs with you. I'm not going to be in those environments, and they knew not to even ask. I'm not going to go do things, but I'll go get a cup of coffee with you and have a conversation. I'll go, you know, you're welcome to come over to dinner, and then me and Dan will love on you while you're here. We had a gay boss at Rhema, and he loved us. And I was like, what do I do? But this guy was hurt by the church and some things that happened to him, and then that's where he came into his lifestyle. And he was gay, and he did tell me, he's like, I was not born this way. And so, just by the way, I know the world is trying to say that, but here's a gay man telling me, no, I was not born this way. Things happened to me. And when we began to talk to him, you know what he said to me? He said, I know the love of God, but I walked away from it. Because I was hurt, but I've never felt it like I have when I'm with you and Dan. And so he was attracted to us, like, in a way, not like unhealthy, but like, in a way, like, I want to be in a relationship with you guys because all my other relationships are nothing like this. And so we would invite him over for barbecues, and he would hang out with all of us. And when we left, the day we left, I'll never forget it, he cried. He said, I'm going to miss you guys. I don't think we'll ever meet friends like you again. And we said, we love you. And back then, there was no, like, texting or any of that. We were so old school. There's no Facebook. There's none of that. And I just prayed. And I prayed with him. And I said, Lord, I pray that you send him friends just like us. Christians that will love him and lead him back to the love of who you are. And that he will find himself again through you, God. And he said, that was the best prayer anyone's ever prayed for me. Because I'm lost. And I don't understand who I am. You see, so many times, God, we have the answers, girls. And all you got to do is just be there You just got to love someone. I'm not telling you to cut them out of their life. I'm not saying they can't come to this church. But I'll tell you something. We've all been sinners in the eyes of God. We've all done something that has separated us from God at one time or another. And yet God's love was so gracious and put upon us that we were allowed back into the throne room of God. There's no sin. There's no separation that God has said about you that will keep you from him. We just heard that. So girls, be his hands, be his feet, be the voice of love to those around you. Tell someone that they are important to God and then therefore they're important to you. Now listen, guard yourself. Do not fall into the wiles of the devil in that process, okay? Keep it healthy. Bring them to church. Maybe take them to coffee. Don't be clubbing with them. When I hear about Christians and clubs, I'm like, oh, bull crap. I just had someone tell me that her and her husband go to a club. I about fell out on the ground. I was trying to keep it cool. Because I'm like, okay, let's stop for a second. I used to club. That is never an environment a Christian should ever be in. You've got jiving next to each other with other people, dancing with people. You've got drinks. You've got demons everywhere. And not one of those songs are Christian. Not one. So is that glorifying who God is? Do you want to bring the love of Jesus into a place like that? Oh, you're like, yes, I'm going to witness. Yeah, right. I'd like to see you witness. With your skimpy dress and your drink in your hand. Come on, guys. Let's get smart about this thing. Let's represent Christ. Let's do this the way God needs us to do this. Last but not least, if we pray this over ourselves every day and the people in our world, we will be filled to fullness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be filled halfway with God. I want to be filled all the way up. My mom and I have been talking, and what was that saying, Mom? You are going to say it the best. Who says it about the wheat? I want to be filled up with wheat so when the tares come in. John Newton said from Amazing Grace that he wants to be filled up with wheat so that when the tares come in, there's no place for them. They can't even come in because you're filled up with all the goodness. Listen, what are you filling your hearts up with? What are we filling our lives up with? What are we filling our minds up with? What? I don't know. For every person, it's different. And you have to guard yourself. You have to stop yourself for a second and go, I don't know, maybe I need to change the way that I'm doing life so that I can fill up with more of God instead of fill up with more of discouragement or brokenness or defeat. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Fullness in the Greek is pleroma. So we'll just say in Greek, it says, it means a full number, a full measure, that which has been completed. What? Okay, wait a second. So that means when I'm filled up to God's fullness, then I am complete in who he is. Whew, I don't know about you, but that sounds refreshing. That sounds blessed. I can be complete in who he is and not who I am. I can be complete in what he says about me and not what I say about me. Because remember we talked last week, we can be our own worst enemy. You look in the mirror and you nitpick yourself apart, right? My nose is too big. My eyes are too far apart. My hair is like too wrinkly or curly. My hair is not straight enough. My hair is too curly. I don't know. You know, the girls with curly hair want straight hair and the girls with straight hair want curly hair. It's never good enough for us, right? The girl who doesn't have a butt wants one and then the girl who has a butt says, no, you don't want one. And God says, stop it. Stop it. I made you. I love you. Stop nitpicking yourself apart. This is not about your flesh. This is about your spirit, man. How healthy is your spirit, man, that you're so hung up on your flesh? I have many times had to look in the mirror, and I'll be all depressed all day. Have you ever had those days? Like, I just never want to get undressed. And Dan's like, come on, babe. And I'm like, every light off, you know? And the Lord has really dealt with me on these things. Just so you guys know, I'm talking about it because he dealt with me on it. And I remember one day, I have cellulite on my legs. Does anybody else have cellulite on my legs? You know. And then you compare yourself to your friends who don't, Robin. And her body is just built differently than mine. But I had to learn that because God made me put shorts on one day. So I put the ones down, you know, to here. And he's like, those aren't shorts. I heard the Holy Spirit say that to me. He's like, go get the shorter ones. I'm like, I am not going out of the house in these. And he made me put on my regular shorts. And he goes, now what do you see? I said, dimples, lots of them. And he said, who cares? And I said, I care. And he goes, why? Because to me, you're complete. To me, I've made you beautifully and wonderfully. And that has nothing to do with your heart. It has nothing to do with, maybe man will judge you or say things about you, but do you care what they think? Or do you want to just go and love them? And who cares what they say about you, Jess? And it was this thing he had to walk me through. It was about a whole year that I really had to go through this. Now he's like, okay, come on, don't let it go because you're so comfortable in it. You know, like I got to get myself healthy again. But I had to own me. I had to own me. And I had to be me because I can't be so-and-so and I can't be so-and-so and I can't be so-and-so. But I believe the fullness of God will help bring that healthy view of who you are. You see, have you ever wanted to change your personality? Like, why can't I be nicer like Barbara? You know, like, why do I have these thoughts like you're an idiot? I'm sure Barbara doesn't think that. You know, like, you know, what is that? Why do I have to have that Italian side in me that just wants to slap everyone, you know? I mean, what is that, God? And honestly, Pastor Jess for about 3 years went silent. Like, I stopped saying things I was thinking, which is probably good. And I had to put myself under the Spirit of God for those 3 years. It was like this, like, internal thing he was doing with me. But then just recently he said, I need you to now stand back up again. Because I believe when you speak, it's not going to be in flesh. But you're going to say what needs to be spoken. And I gave you that for you to be able to speak and stand against the enemy. I don't want you to be a wimp. And I was like, oh, okay. So you gave me this personality for a reason and I get to use it? You see, girls, who are you? And why do you want to be someone else? When he made you and formed you and loved you and knows everything about you, he wants to fill you up to the fullness so you're complete in who he is. So that when someone else says, well, I don't like that hair of yours. Well, too bad I do. You know, well, I don't know why you put that outfit together. Well, that's okay because I like it. You know, I have this assistant. Her name is Julia. Can you stand up, your girlfriend? I mean, Julia was raised in a Mexican home. So she's Mexican. Did you know that? And Julia is a beautiful young lady. Come on up here, Julia. Come up here. Julia is the girl who wears dresses all the time. And Julia is the most confident person I have ever known in my life. So come here. Don't act like you're shy. You know you want to shred it, girl. She's blushing. But Julia is gorgeous inside and out. And you know what's gorgeous about Julia? Her confidence. Because Julia knows who she is in Christ. She knows that she's complete in him and she's not identified by Joelle and Joanna. You're not identified by the clothes you put on. Julia is identified about who Julia is in Christ. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with Julia and she goes, well, too bad, that's just who I am. And I just always hear her say, well, too bad, that's just who I am. And she says it so nice, you're kind of like, oh, yeah. So I love you, Julia. Thank you for being an example of who you are in Christ to all of us. Girls, who are you? Julia dyes her hair red. Some of you have red hair that you dye. Own it, right? So I'm not saying you can't go dye your hair because mine turned darker and I go blonde because that was what I used to be. But children ruined it anyways. You know all that. But girls, be you. Today, walk out of here with your head high and go, you know what? God made me who I am. I'm complete and I'm full in who he is. My vat is going to be filled with wheat. So when the tares come, I'm not going to be taken out and nothing can fill me. It passes the knowledge. I love how it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Well, wait, I have a question. If it passes all knowledge, how can we know it? That doesn't make any sense, right? Like, how do I know that if it passes the knowledge? We can know all of these things, guys, because we are in a covenant with Jesus Christ. That means I walk in the Spirit, so now I have the inside knowledge of what God has for me. So when you look at something and you go, I don't get it. I don't understand this, God. I need your understanding in this situation. You might be sitting across from someone, maybe you're in a lawyer situation and you're like, they're talking language I don't know, and I find myself in a courtroom and I don't know what I'm dealing with. Listen, ask the Holy Spirit to drop something into your spirit so that you have an understanding. You see, he knows all. He sees all. He knows, and you can understand all this. I've been in rooms with people that are like big end. Now, if you know Jess, I'm not really smart. And so I'll sit there and I'll go, Holy Spirit, drop to me what it is they're talking about. Like, I will say that. And all of a sudden, I understand what they're saying. I begin to, okay, I can flow with the conversation. You see, you can ask for the knowledge of God. He will bring it to you when you need it. And when you don't want to know and you're like, they're being stupid, I don't want to know this conversation, just excuse yourself. Be like, Holy Spirit, I don't want to know. Because sometimes we don't need to know all things. And God is good to us. Ephesians 1:23. And the church is his body. That's you. It is made full and complete, hallelujah, by Christ, who fills all things everywhere by himself. John 8:32. And you will know the truth, girls, and the truth will set you free. When you have the knowledge of Christ, you have the truth of who God is. You have the truth of what this world should be operating in, and it's not. Because I'll tell you right now, wrong is right, and right is wrong in the world right now. It's a hot mess. But when you begin to walk it out, do things God's way, God begins to show up in new ways for you. So when we pray this prayer, I want to pray it together. Can we do that? Can we pray it over ourselves? So let's all stand. Because I want to teach you how to pray scripture over yourself. Hold hands. Let's hold hands. I'm turning into my mother. She's so excited. Okay, so do they have it up? Can you put up Ephesians, the very first scripture, Ephesians 4:14-21? All right, let's pray this together. For this reason, we bow our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Stop. Now, when we get to this, I want you to put your name in it, okay? And it says that he would grant unto me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might in my inner man. So I want you to make it personal, okay? That Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. That, do you see what I'm saying? So put your name in this. So make it personal, okay? All right, here we go. We're going to pick back up. Where did we leave off? That he would grant unto me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in me, in him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right? Easy. Right? That's easy to do. So pray that over yourself every day. I got to the point where I memorized it. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. So pray these scriptures over yourself. Pastor Deborah's going to talk about exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. Ooh, next week we're going to be on fire. Right? We're going to like get lit up. It's going to be good.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.